I am so excited about the direction of our church and about all that God is doing. Are you excited to be a part of Champion Forest right now? I mean, it's just crazy to think about all that God is doing, not just here, but through the people here, right? The past month or so, and longer than that in reality, but especially this past month, I mean, the generosity of Champion Forest, the heart of God working through Champion Forest, the members of Champion Forest has been on display in a big, big way. Of course, with all the Harvey stuff, but not just Harvey. I mean, this past week, you know, at your schools, at your flagpoles, I mean, you guys at so many of the schools that we went to were leading the charge, praying for your schools and making God known on your campuses. It's been incredible to watch you guys, right? Really to watch God at work in and through you guys, making his name famous all over our community. It's a good, good thing. And I'm excited to be a part of it, especially working with you guys and our students. And here's the cool thing, right? As you guys continue to grow, right? And that means get older. As you continue to get older, right? No longer sixth grade, maybe now eighth grade or seniors or adults, moms and dads. As we continue to grow and progress, we're going to have more and more opportunities to allow God to work in us and then through us. More and more opportunities to point people to Jesus, to love on others, to be generous towards others. God's going to continue to give us the opportunity to point people to him with how we live our lives. And here's the deal, right? I want that for us, right? I want that for myself. I want that for you guys. I want opportunities to point people to Christ. I want opportunities to be generous with what God has given me to use my resources to point others to him as well. Because followers of Jesus are generous, right? You've heard it mentioned a few times this morning. Followers of Jesus are generous. Followers of Jesus are giving. Man, you guys have been giving. You guys have shown people what it means to sacrifice for other people. You guys have been so incredibly generous, and that's a good, good thing. Listen, we've been in a series on discipleship, right? And we've been showing you sort of what it looks like, what it means to be a follower of Jesus, right? Look, following Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus. That's the series that we've been in, and this is the last Sunday that we'll be teaching on that. But the topic this morning, if you haven't already determined, is generosity, right? Is generosity. Followers of Jesus are generous. Followers of Jesus are giving. Followers of Jesus are willing, right, to share what they have with others. Yes, money. Yes, finances. But that's not the only thing. Our resources, our talents, our time, all these other things, right? But we're going to key on a few specific things. I want to give you a heads up, right? Jesus talked a lot in his word about what we do with our money. How many of you wish you had a little bit more money? Anybody? Be honest. Don't lie to me. All right, yeah. Life group teachers, I see some hands going up too. Right? Here's the deal, right? Here's the deal. A lot of us think about that, right? A lot of us, a lot of times, our mind thinks about, man, if I just had a little bit more money, I could do this. Man, if I just had a little bit more, I could buy that, I could do this, I could bless somebody here, we could take this trip. We think if we just had a little bit more, that we could do a little bit more with it. But before we get more, and more than likely, right, most of you at some point in your life will have more than you do now, because the majority of this room doesn't have a job yet, okay? So here's the deal. At some point, you're going to have more than you do right now, and I want to make sure that as followers of Jesus, we know what to do with it, and that we're able to honor God with it. Guys, Jesus talked a lot about it, right? He talked a lot about it in his teachings, teaching people what it means to follow him. He told his disciples and those that were listening so many things that they should do with their money. Did you know that 16 of the 38 parables were taught on how to handle money and possessions, and they dealt with that? Right? In the Gospels, about one out of every 10 verses talks about and details how followers of Jesus should steward or should use the resources that God has blessed us with, right? Over 2,000 verses in the Bible talk about how we should handle or how finances and money should be handled. I mean, clearly, right, this is an important thing in God's Word, right? Something that we should gravitate towards, something that we should seek to learn from, right? Just think about the Sermon on the Mount, right? In Matthew chapter 5, we see Jesus teaching, right? It's a famous sermon. There's so many examples that are given from it. So many times we refer to it. When we talked through Matthew as a church, we spent like 6 weeks in the Sermon on the Mount, because all the different things that are in there, and over again throughout that sermon, we see him pointing to and talking about finances and money. Matthew chapter 6, it's a great verse. I think we heard it earlier. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your what? Your heart will be also. Right? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Right? It's a reminder to think, you know what? Maybe the stuff around here isn't super important, and we should be investing in the things that will last in eternity, right? Laying up treasure in heaven. In Matthew 6:24, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. You can't serve God and money, right? You can't serve both. Money's not bad. Money's not evil. Money allows us to do specific things, right? God gives to us graciously. God gives to us generously to enjoy and to honor him, right? But we shouldn't ever let anything compete with him. And then we heard last week, and we're hearing again this morning, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you, right? Above everything, above money, right? Earlier we said, how many have a little bit more money? A lot of hands went up. How many of us like a little bit more God, right? Seek God. Seek God first. Our heart should be chasing and following after God. Listen, this is just a couple of verses from one chapter in the Bible, and we could go on and on and on, but hopefully you get the point, right? That Jesus taught on giving, that Jesus taught on money, that Jesus taught on generosity, that he taught on generosity. So this morning, we're going to talk about giving. We're going to talk about generosity. We're going to talk about money, okay? I don't know about you, but I'm going to eat lunch today because I have money to eat lunch, right? I've got a home. Because I've got money. I'm able to help people that need help or bless people that might be in need of something because I've got money. So money is necessary, but how we use it is so critically important, right? It is so critically important. I said at the beginning, who would like a little bit more money? I've got some money that I want to give to somebody, but there's something. All right, come on, Dawson. I think your hand was the first one up. You didn't even know what you were volunteering for. I didn't even get it out of my mouth, but come on up. I've got some money for you. I'm going to be generous. Yeah, you can stand right up here. So I'm going to be generous. I'm going to give away some money. All right. I said it earlier, right? There's a good chance that a lot of you in the room at some point in your life will have more than you have right now, right? Because you're going to get jobs. I said that earlier in a prayer meeting, and one of the parents that was in there was like, amen, please, right? So here's the deal, right? You're going to get more. He's going to get more really quickly. He's not going to have to earn this or go get a job for this. Hold this for a second. Don't go anywhere. Just stand right there, let everybody see that you now have a little bit more money. So he's got a little bit more. And this is what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that as we work through Scripture together, you have your Bible open back there, and you're going to see, all right, so this is how God has called me to live. This is how God has called me to steward the resources that I've been entrusted. I'm not giving you that. I'm entrusting that to you to make a wise decision with it, to use it the way that God would want you to use it, to do what he's called you to do with that money. You still want it? Okay. You sure? We're clear on this. You're good. You might be coming back and forth a few times today, so make sure you're paying attention. It would be awkward for both of us if I asked you to come back and you're like playing on your phone back there or something. All right? Good? Okay, so he's got it, all right? But he's coming back, and he's going to let us know how he's going to use that based on what we hear from God's word today. So now you've really got to pay attention because you might have something to say later, okay? All right, go have a seat. You'll come back in a little bit, all right? Here, listen up, guys. Clearly what we do with our money is important, right? What he does with that is important, but not just what he does with that. What we do with our money is important. I don't think that Jesus would have spent so much time teaching about it and talking about it if he didn't want us to learn from it, okay? So part of following him is trusting him and being obedient to him with those resources, right? So everything we have, right? For those of you that we might lose along the way, here's the point to the message. If your parents ask you that question each week, here's the point. All right, I'm going to give it to you up front, and then we'll build a case for it. Everything we have, right, our time, our talent, our money, everything we have should be used to bring glory to Jesus. That's it. Everything, right? It's all about bringing glory to Jesus. So the time that we have should be used to bring glory to Jesus. Guys, don't waste your time. Use it. Invest it to bring glory to Jesus, right? Make it count. Be generous with your time. I was talking to one of our life group teachers this week whose home had flooded. I just wanted to call and check up on him. And you know what I heard? The other teachers in his department were generous with their time. They were on their way to his house that night, actually, to help him continue putting up sheetrock and that kind of thing. Guys, that's being generous with your time, right? Your time is a resource that God has given you. Be generous. Use it for his glory. Our time should be used for the glory of God. Our talents should be used to the glory of God. And listen, there's a lot of talent in this room, right? All you've got to go to do is go to a football game on a Friday night. You see a ton of talent. You see dancers, you see drill teams, you see cheerleading people, you see hundreds of musicians walking around the field playing an instrument and marching. I couldn't do both, or like one by itself, but y'all are doing both at the same time. You see football players, you see stand leaders. They're very talented at being loud and that kind of thing. Here's the deal. There's a ton of talent in this room. Listen. God has generously given those talents to you to use, to steward for the glory of God, to use those talents to point people to him, to use those talents not to point the spotlight at yourself, to use those talents to shine a light on Jesus. God has given you an incredible amount of talents. And then, yes, finally, our time, our talents, and our money. Guys, we should be using that, investing that into the kingdom. We should be using that to point people to Jesus. And we just saw as we read all those verses that Jesus spent a lot of time helping his followers. If you're a follower of Jesus, look this way. Jesus spent a lot of time helping his followers, right? And a lot of eyes just turned this way. I would say that a lot of us in the room have, man, we've trusted in Jesus, right? We've become Christians, right? By placing our faith and trust in Jesus, the generous gift that he gave us on the cross, we become followers of Jesus. He spent a lot of time teaching us as his followers how then we should live. And one of those areas, generosity, right? In Luke chapter 12, he's talking to a group of people, reminding them, listen, it's not about accumulating stuff for ourselves. It's not about accumulating wealth for ourselves. And at the end of his teaching there, Jesus used this phrase. He called his followers to be rich towards God. Think about that. That phrase, for some reason this week, just jumped out to me. Be rich towards God. It's easy to want to get rich. It's easy to think about being rich. It's easy to imagine what life would like if we were rich. But I wonder how much time we spend thinking about what it would mean to be rich towards God. Think about that for a second. And that's what Jesus taught. And that's what Jesus encourages, is that we would be rich towards God. We're going to look at two guys, right, from God's word this morning. And as I read about these two guys, I want you guys to think, right? Don't just listen to me. I want you to think and think critically about the differences between these two guys, because there are certainly differences. You see a difference in their heart. You see a difference in their attitude, which leads to a difference in their actions and the way that they view the things that they have. The first one's in Luke 18. If you've got your Bible, flip it open to Luke chapter 18. This is a story that we've heard. I remember we've taught on this in here, right? I remember teaching on it. If you don't remember it, don't tell me. But I know that we've taught on it in here, right? Within the past year, we've looked at this guy. And we've looked at his heart. And we've looked at his response to Jesus. But he's got this invitation to come and to be with Jesus. And you're going to see that he's got a hang up, and there's something that prevents him from doing that. In Luke 18, it says a ruler, and we learn from the other gospels that it's a younger guy, more than likely, probably sort of a wealthy guy, came to Jesus and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He's saying, "Jesus, what do I need to do to be saved? What do I need to do to go to heaven?" Right? And we know that's all about our heart, right? We know that's about our belief in Christ. We know that's about trusting in Jesus. And so Jesus answers his question in a pretty unique way. He answers it with a question. "Again, why do you call me good? No one's good but God. You know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Do honor your father and mother." And the guy said, "Listen, I've done all that. I've checked the boxes. I'm good to go. What else do I need to do?" And so Jesus said, "Listen, you're missing one thing." All right, there's one thing, one hang up in your heart that's preventing you from trusting in me. He says, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute it to" who? What's your Bible say? Who? The poor. "Sell all that you've got and distribute everything that you've got to the poor." And Jesus says, "You're going to have what? Treasure." right? Get rid of your possessions and you're going to exchange them for treasure. But treasure where? In heaven, right? So get rid of the stuff that you've got, exchange it. You're investing it now for treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. And look at verse 23. Look in your Bibles. If you don't have it, look on the screen. When the man heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And that's the end of their conversation. And the guy walks away from Jesus. Listen, in his heart, think about this, in his heart, stuff was greater than Jesus. He had a choice. Right? He had a choice. Was he going to trust God, right? Or was he going to trust himself? Was he going to trust God, or was he going to hold on to his things? And he held on to his stuff. He was thinking about the here and now. He was thinking about everything that he could see right here, right now, and the things that he saw right here, right now became more important to him than eternity. Think about that. He was so focused on the now and so caught up with what was going on right now that he was missing the invitation that he had from Jesus for an eternity, right? And a lot of times we read this and we think, this guy is absolutely crazy, but I don't want us to be too hard on him, because I know there have been times in my life where I've been so focused on the here and now that I've lost sight of what really matters. Guys, I want to encourage you, don't think just about the here and now. Think about how the here and now affects eternity. Think about the long term and allow our hearts, right? Just like every other area we've talked about, allow our hearts to be generous as followers of Christ. Now look at Luke 19, right? These are back to back, Luke 18 and Luke 19. We see another guy, right? Another guy. This guy's a shorter guy. Who knows who the short guy from the New Testament is? Anybody? Zacchaeus. I read that story with my kids this week. We didn't teach them the song yet. One of you is going to come up here and sing that song in a minute. So be paying attention, because the one that's not is the one that's going to be called on. Garza, you might be singing here in a minute. I got a microphone right there. I'll turn it on. Luke 19, Zacchaeus, right? Look at verse 1. Jesus enters Jericho and he's passing through. And behold, there was a man named what? I just like to say it, Zacchaeus. I just wanted to give you a chance to say it too. Zacchaeus, he was the chief tax collector, and he was what?
Rich.
Say it again.
Rich.
He was the chief tax collector. He was rich. He could take whatever money from whatever person he wanted, right? He could get all the, he had access to everything. He was rich, but he wanted to see Jesus. It says that he couldn't because he was short. He couldn't see over the crowd, like the people in the back that want to see the words on the screen that have to stand on a chair, right? He couldn't see over the crowd, so he climbed up a what?
Sycamore tree.
He knows the song, right? He climbed up into a sycamore tree just to see what he could. Y'all know the song. Okay, good. So he climbs up in the sycamore tree to see Jesus. Jesus comes under the tree, looks up and says, Zacchaeus, get down. I'm going to your house today. And when Jesus said he was going to Zacchaeus' house, what was the response from the crowd? The crowd grumbled. They're like, are you kidding me? That guy? You're going to that guy's house? That guy's a cheat. That guy's a tax collector. That guy steals from us. Why would you go to the house of a sinner? And Jesus went to his house, and the Bible says that Zacchaeus welcomed him into his home, received him joyfully. And look at verse 8. Jesus hasn't asked him for anything except to come out of the tree. Right? But his encounter with Jesus led to a heart that maybe shifted a little bit. Verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, half of my goods I'm giving to the poor. So right off the bat, Zacchaeus says, listen, half of everything I've got, look around. Look around this place. Half of it I'm giving to the poor. Half of it I'm giving to people that are in need. Half of it I'm giving to people that might not eat tonight if I don't give them what I've got. I'm gonna give away half, right? And then, right, with the other half, he's saying, if I've cheated and if I've stolen from anybody, I'm going to pay them back. But I'm not just going to pay them back. I'm going to pay them back how much? Four times what I took from them, right? And look at Jesus' response. Today, salvation has come to this house. Listen, this is important. Salvation did not come to Zacchaeus because he gave stuff away. You understand that? Right? He didn't earn anything there. He didn't earn that relationship with Jesus. He didn't earn his salvation by giving to the poor, by giving away half his stuff. He became a follower of Jesus, right? He trusted in Jesus. He had this encounter with Jesus. And as he believed in Jesus, as he had this encounter with Jesus, man, God changed his heart. And you see a changed heart. You see this guy that has spent his life more than likely trying to amass wealth for himself, all of a sudden giving it all away. before he was even asked, he was using his possessions to follow the commands of God. Before he was even asked, he was using what God had allowed him to accumulate to bless other people. He had a changed heart. Because he had a changed heart, his life changed, right? And one of the things that we see change in his life is how he used the stuff that he had. Now it's used for the glory of God. Listen, I want to follow Jesus. And I want to do everything that God has called me. I want to live a life that is honoring to Jesus. I want to be that follower of Jesus. And I know you do too. That's why so many eyes shot up here when I said, look at me, if you're a follower of Jesus, right? This is something that he talks about, right? How we live, how we're a generous people. We just read about two guys. Which one of these two guys is a follower of Jesus? I mean, one guy came to Jesus asking, right, but didn't follow. The other guy, as Jesus approached, this guy became a follower of Jesus, and we see it in his life. He was willing to give it away because he knew what it meant to follow Jesus. And my hope and my prayer, right, is that we continue as a church, as a group, as a people, as we continue to follow Jesus, that we would be willing to be generous, that we'd be willing not to hold our things tightly, but to live with an open hand, allowing God to use what we've got, however it is he can use it. And I'm telling you, as you get older, right, it's easier to be generous. It's easier to give things away, not because you have more, and so it's okay to give stuff away, but because the longer you follow Jesus, the more he works on our heart to help us understand what it means to be generous, right? I've got three kids, 6, 3, and 1, and we had some dessert the other night. Well, I'll be honest, we have dessert every night. So it was ice cream, right? And so I'm just trying to be like fun with the one-year-old and like do the baby talk and get in his face and that kind of thing. And so I got in his face and I asked him for some ice cream. And you know what I got? I literally got hit in the face by a one-year-old, right? He knew what I was after. He knew what I wanted. He saw my mouth coming towards his ice cream, and his response was an open-handed smack right on my mouth to get me away from his stuff, right? But here's the deal. He got me away. I said, okay, all right. It's all yours, dude. So then I turned to the six-year-old, right? I'm like, he loves ice cream, right? His birthday cake is a candle stuck in a big old thing of Bluebell, right? That's what he wants, right? He loves ice cream. I was like, hey, Landon, will you share with your dad? And he just handed me a spoon, right? He handed me a spoon, and here's the deal, right? It's not because he doesn't love ice cream, not because he doesn't want a ton of it, but because he's gotten older to be generous, right? He knows that he's got it because I gave it to him, and he knows that I'm going to take care of him. And so he was willing to hold it with an open hand, willing to allow someone else to share a little bit of what he had. Listen, guys, we've got to be willing. We've got to be willing to share what we've got. We've got to be willing to be generous, because everything that we've got comes from a very, very generous God. Right? Followers of Jesus will be generous because Jesus is generous. Children of God will be generous because God, our Father, is generous. 2 Corinthians 9, God loves a cheerful giver. Philippians chapter 7, or 2, verse 7, we see Jesus emptying himself, giving up the riches of heaven and becoming a man, right? Made in human likeness, right? So that we can have a relationship with God, an incredibly generous act. John 3:16, God so loved the world. How much did he love the world? So much so that he what?
Gave.
He gave. What did he give? Everything. He gave his son so that we could know him. We have got an incredibly generous God. As his children, as his followers, we should be. We are called to be a generous people. All right, I've got three things, right, that we can do to help us. Three tracks to run on that can help us be good stewards, be generous with the things that God's given us. These three things, and we'll close. The first thing that we've got to do is this. We've got to remember who owns it. Right, we've got to remember who owns it. The stuff that we have does not belong to us. The stuff that we have belongs to God. Psalms 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the entire world and everyone who dwells within it. Guys, God owns it. Look at me real quick. I just want you to think about this concept, right? And spend a lot of time thinking about this concept, right? We've got to get to the point to where we view ourselves not as owners of stuff, not as owners of things, but as stewards of things, right? We don't have it. It's God's. God has entrusted it to us to use for His glory. Does that make sense? It's not mine, right? My wallet's not mine. God has entrusted that to me. He has entrusted that to me to use for His glory. My talents aren't mine. My time is not mine. The things that I've got are not mine. God has entrusted that to me for His glory, and He expects me to be generous with that to other people. The same is true of you. Dawson, whose money is that back there, man? Is that yours? Is that mine? Whose is that? Man, he pointed up. He's got it. He's listening. He pointed up, right? It's God's, right? God has entrusted that to you to be generous with, to use ultimately, not for your glory, but for God's glory, right? God has given it to us to be good stewards with. Knowing that it's God's, let's glorify God with it. Let's be smart with it. Don't waste it, right? Be smart with what God has given you to be a steward over. Honor God with it. Hey, listen, be obedient to God with it. There's a lot of things that God tells us to do with money, right? When you read God's word, we see a ton of things that God tells His followers to do with money. Here's some really easy ones if you're wondering what some of them are. Take care of people with it. Take care of people. Jesus told the rich young ruler to give to the poor. He didn't. Zacchaeus did it just right off the bat. And we see as we read the Bible, right, that we're called to take care of the poor, that we're called to take care of widows, that we're called to take care of orphans, that we're called to use the resources that God has blessed us with to meet the needs of other people, right? Not so that we can get glory, but so that ultimately God can receive glory for it. So guys, we've got to remember that everything we've got, listen, your skills on the football field, your skills as a cheerleader, as an instrument, singing, dancing, your math skills, I mean, seriously, all the skills that we've got are to be used for the glory of God. God has given you those to steward for His glory. Remember who owns it. God owns it. And the second thing is this. When we remember who owns it, it's going to hopefully cause us to do number two, and that's make an impact with it. Make an impact with what God has given you to be a steward over. We've seen so many examples of this in the past month, right? You guys as a church gave. You guys gave so much. You guys gave your time. You guys did give your money. You guys did give your resources. So many people from the church gave the money, cash, to meet the needs of families, right? To help meet the needs of families whose homes were flooded, whose cars were lost, whose possessions were gone. You made a huge impact as you gave money. You made an impact as you gave time, right? Somebody did some math this week, and the amount of homes that were cleaned by members of CFBC, what that would have cost had crews been hired and come in to do it, was just over $7 million worth of labor given by you guys as you've invested your time. And let me just tell you, that made a tremendous impact in the community right here of CFBC. You heard Pastor David say it a second ago. His house was one of the ones that people from this church went and worked in. And so he's speaking from example there. Guys, listen, you have made an impact with how you have spent your time this past month. And this is my prayer, right, that does not stop. That God taught us something, right, and that we learned, right, that we can not only use our money, we can use our time. We can use our skills to help people that need help, all for the glory of God. Let's make an impact with the things that God has blessed us with. He's entrusted it to us to use for Him and for His glory. So remember, who owns it? God owns it, right? Because God owns it, let's make an impact with it. Let's use it. Let's use it to bring glory and honor to Him. It would be very easy. It is very easy to be self-centered. It is very easy to think about what we want, to think about what might make us happy, what might make us comfortable. Man, let's try to shift our mindset. Let's shift it to think about what God has called us to. Let's shift it to be a generous people like our God, who is a generous God. Right? If we're just starting this, it's not going to happen by accident. Here's the third point, the third thing, and maybe it's more of an application step. I'm not really sure how this fits in here, but you guys just plan it. Right? Plan it. Don't hope it's going to happen. Make it happen. Right? Don't think, man, that would be nice if I could start doing this. No, actively plan how you could be generous. Actively plan how you could invest your time in others. Actively plan how you could invest your money and your finances in others. If you don't plan it, it's not going to work out for you. How many of you have ever been on a high school mission trip with Champion Forest? Anybody? Right? So we give money to our leaders to give to our students for their meals. Some students plan very well. Others do not. Right? others do not. There have been many times, and maybe some of the guilty people are in here, where I get to dinner with a team and somebody's like, hey, dude, my leader like gave me all my money and I already spent it. I don't have any money for dinner. I'm like, what did you spend it on? I'm like, well, I saw this shirt and I just like wanted it. So I had to buy it and I bought like two things at Starbucks and we got ice cream earlier and now I'm out of money, right? They didn't plan and so dinner didn't happen for them, right? Well, I bought their dinner, but here's the deal. Here's the point, right? If you don't plan, it's not going to happen, guys. When it comes to generosity, it's the same thing, guys. Plan. Plan for it. Right? Plan to be generous. Think about it now. What's the pattern of your life? Think about how you can be generous with that time. Begin to plan it. Begin to think about it. Think about your money, the stuff that you've got. Be generous with it. Plan it. If your mom and your dad pay for your camp every year, say, hey, you know what, mom and dad? Don't pay for my camp this year. I've got this friend, man, if they need help right now, pay for their camp. I'm going to earn money and send myself. Plan it. Think about how you can be generous to other people. All right, here's some ways to start. Give to the church. Pastor David talked about that earlier. Give to the poor. Give to people that are in need. Look around and meet needs. Listen, and it's really, really easy to find needs right now. Look around, find needs, meet needs of people right here in our community. And then the last part of planning is this. Guys, just budget for it. All right, budget generosity. Moms and dads, adults in the room too, this applies to all of us. Think about this, right? We budget for everything. We budget for our house. We budget for our cars. We budget for a cell phone. We budget for so our kids can watch Netflix. We budget so we can eat. We budget all these different things. I heard this sermon a few weeks ago that challenged me. And Chelsea and I have been having conversations called budget generosity. Let that be something you plan on doing. Plan on giving away to other people so that as needs arise, guess what? You've got money set aside and ready to meet those needs. It's not just going to happen, right? As God changes our heart and makes us more generous as we follow after Him, let's make sure that we're doing everything that He's called us to do with it. Luke 12. I'm going to read this verse and we'll be done. Jesus talking, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day and God bless.